Hello guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, all on the family. But God began to deal with us, we realized something. We're reaching thousands with our seminars, but we can reach millions with our radio program. We're having some great feedback, so we want to encourage today. If this program has helped you in any way, if you've got something out of it, give us a call. Drop us a line, send us a note, email us, and let us know how it's helped you. God told us years ago that we would be doing this in the last days and said our ministry would restore hope in the lives of families through the knowledge of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that changes people, puts hope back in you, man. God can do all kinds of great things. Part the Red Sea and raise the dead. He can save a marriage. He can save a family. He can help you with your parenting, help you with your money. It is the Word of God. So this program is just based on that alone. It's restoring hope in the lives of families through the knowledge of the Word of God. Give us a line and let us know how it's helped you.
You're listening to Joe McGee.
Who's God blessing? It's a man that's running away from his promise, lying about his wife, trying to give her away. God does not bless perfect people. There are no perfect people. The righteous fall seven times, they get back up. God blesses faith. If you believe God, he forgives, he redeems, he restores, he'll lift you back up. What the devil is, you don't deserve nothing. No, God's son bought me. I deserve it all. It's mine. You got to go get it. But with the devil, no, you don't deserve to pray. No, it's mine. Everything on the table is mine. You don't take yours, I'll take yours. And mine. Take it all. It pleases God.
You are listening to Joe McGee. He'll be right back with more of today's message. But first, we'd like to tell you about this month's life-changing offer for your family. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. This set includes three audio messages that are thought-provoking and funny, a couple of prayer reminders, and 31 teaching cards to help you and your kids build a strong marriage and family. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Your support goes to help grow the outreach of Joe McGee Ministries. Joe uses a laugh and learn approach that removes barriers and provides a refreshing point of view and a new hope for your marriage and family. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe.
That boy pops out 17 years later. God says, take that boy up on a mountain and offer me a sacrifice. Okay, so he takes 17-year-old boy that he finally had and gets up there and they pile up the rocks, get the wood, and son says, Dad, what are we doing? Well, I said we're going to offer God a sacrifice. Well, we didn't bring one with us. Well, I need to talk to you about that. Here, lay down here a minute. Let me tie you up. You know the story. Abraham raises the knife like, whoa, Dad. And in God said, in Abraham's heart, I saw you. In your heart, you just gave me your son. That knife was coming down, but he stopped him. There's a ram caught in a thicket. You just gave me your son. That's all I needed. I cannot come to earth and save man unless a man on earth will give me his son. I only needed one man to do it, and you are the one. You just gave me your son, so through your family, I can now legally be born on earth and buy mankind back. That's the whole Christmas story in a nutshell. All of a sudden, Abraham dies. Isaac comes along. He marries Rebecca. Finally, who are you? Well, I'm Isaac, son of Abraham, father of many nations, and we're going to have seed like stars of heaven and sands of the sea. And he gets married to Rebecca. Well, she can't get pregnant. You kidding? You can't get pregnant? Well, we're trying. Why can't you get pregnant? God said, I'm supposed to have a lot of kids. You can't even get pregnant? There got my daddy married one, couldn't have kids. I married one, can't have kids. What kind of stupid God do we serve? Oh, I just only talk to my family. I'm not talking to you. I'm just what my family says. If God promised it, where is it? Well, the vision's first, you declaring it second. The vision's first, you declaring it second. The vision's first, you declaring it second. If you don't declare it, it will not come to pass. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that Isaac prayed. That's funny scripture. He prayed. Now watch this. Let me tell you what he prayed. It's real simple. Isaac pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was unable to have children. Wait a second. I thought God told you you're going to have a ton of kids. He did. Why can't your wife get pregnant? Because there's a devil. He's a thief. He'll steal the promise God gave me if I don't rebuke him. If I don't fight back, if I don't pray, I don't get what God promised me. God's not best with him. The devil's trying to steal what God's promised me. He pleads with the Lord on behalf of his wife, and Rebecca became pregnant with twins. Oh, dear God, I prayed too long. A drought hits. Isaac's running off to Egypt like his daddy did. God gives them the promised land, but their faith isn't strong enough, so he's running away from the promised land, going down to Egypt. He's moving down where the Gaza Strip is today. He gets halfway down, and God speaks to him. Where are you going? well, it's dry and there's no water and I'm running down to Egypt. Don't do that. Stay here. I told you, this will be your land. I'll be with you. I'll bless you. Your seed will be the stars of heavens. And he repeats the same blessing he told his daddy. Please, I need somebody to believe me. Stay here. Okay, I'll stay here in the stinking desert. Fine. And he stays there. Well, the next day, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looks at his wife because evidently God had men marry good-looking women. Hey, who's that good-looking woman? Isaac said, what? Who's that good-looking woman you got? That's my sister. But he lied because if it's your wife, they can kill you and take her. It was legal in their culture. But if it's your sister, they have to write you a check. You know, in modern-day terms. Who is it? That's my sister. All righty. Well, okay, I'm going to come visit that. The next day, Abimelech, who just was told that's his sister, looks out his window and sees Isaac caressing Rebecca. Caressing. Now, that's a really nice word. It's real clean and uneventful, but trust me. All the Hebrew words that go with it, I can't repeat on a Sunday morning service. His hands were in places they shouldn't have been in the daytime. Abimelech sees Isaac with his hands all over that good-looking woman, and he yells out the window, hey, that's not your sister. I got a sister. You don't do that to your sister. And he brings me, why'd you say that's your sister? Well, I didn't want nobody to kill me. You about got us killed. We might have taken her slapping her. You about got us killed. What's the matter with you? And Abimelech, the heathen king, makes a law. Anybody touch this man's wife, I kill you dead. Because he didn't want a curse coming on him. Well, all of a sudden, you know, things are looking good. And so Isaac plants his crops that year, harvests 100 times more wheat than he planted, and corn, his cattle increase, his sheep increase, everything increased. He's blessed. And who is this man's blessed? Well, it's a man that's running away from the promised land, lying about his wife and trying to give her away. Who's God blessing? It's a man that's running away from his promise, lying about his wife, trying to give her away. God does not bless perfect people. There are no perfect people. The righteous fall 7 times, they get back up. God blesses faith. If you believe God, he forgives, he redeems, he restores, he'll lift you back up. What the devil is, you don't deserve nothing. No, God's son bought me. I deserve it all. It's mine. You got to go get it. But what the devil, no, you don't deserve to pray. No, it's mine. Everything on the table is mine. You don't take yours, I'll take yours. And mine. I take it all. It pleases God. All of a sudden, they saw that he was a blessed man. It makes heathens jealous when you're blessed. So they came, they filled his well up with dirt that night. They filled my well up. Filled my well. Dug that well all day long that day. It's hard to dig a well in the desert. And Abimelech shows up and says, we want you to move. What? Get your tent, pack it up, get your good-looking wife, and get out of here. Why? You're not normal. We don't like you. You're not normal. And they kicked him off his land. So he goes down through the Gaza Strip toward Egypt, goes down, plants, you know, builds his tent up, digs another well, finds water, feeds his crop. A few days later, they fill that well up. They filled it up again. Oh, man. Gets up, packs his tent, goes down for the Gaza Strip, plants everything, digs another well. Next one, they fill that up. They fill it up again. So good. Fourth well. They filled up 4 wells in a row. Fifth well, they don't fill it up. He's just moving down toward Egypt. Fills up digs the fifth well. Gets up, it's not filled up. Finally, we got somewhere nobody's going to bother us. Your Lord. God speaks to him that day. Hello. Isaac, I am the Lord God of your father Abraham. He will be with you. He will bless you. Kabayah. Isaac said, really? Well, like, where you been? You been watching this? They kicked me off my land. They filled my well up with dirt. And God said, and you dug another one, didn't you? Yeah, but they filled that one up with dirt. And you dug another one, didn't you? But they filled that one up with dirt. And you dug another one, didn't you? And Father Isaac, I'm missing the point. I said I would be with you. I didn't say tests and trials wouldn't come. I didn't say people wouldn't mess with you. I just said I'd be with you. You keep finding better wells, don't you? Then dig another well. And most Christians, they think, so finally he digs that well and finally, well, I guess I missed the point here. We got us a good one now. He goes to sleep after finding this great well. He wakes up the next morning. Things are finally nice. He goes out of his tent. Here comes the king of the Philistines, Abimelech, with his chief minister and his chief guy, the big head over his military. Isaac walks out, New Living says, what are you doing here? You obviously hate me, kicking off your stinking land, been run through the desert for 3 months. Oh, no, we're here because we like you. What? We like you. We want to strike a covenant. We want you to promise you won't hurt us. Hurt you? I've been running from you for 3 months. Yeah, but you're not normal. You're weird. We keep filling your wells up. You keep finding better ones, and you're scary. I'm not exaggerating. It's in there. Please strike a covenant and promise you will not hurt us. And Isaac offered a sacrifice, did a covenant meal, and promised Abimelech that he's been running from for 3 months. I promise I won't hurt you, you crazy king. The next day gets up and they find a better well down at Beersheba, which is still there to this day. The moral of the story, we are the people of God, the apple of his eye. He's given us his word and his son. We have faith. We're to go use it. Not thumbsuck about what not to go. Well, I don't understand. Well, it's in here. You're on an alien planet. Go whip something. Not somebody, something. 20 years ago, they found 300 stranded whales laying on the beach dead in the South Pacific. They couldn't figure out why these behemoths of the deep were laying dead on the islands. National Geographic Survey of the United States went down to find out what science fiction thing drove these massive giants of the deep onto the shore to die. 3 months later, they found out why. It happened again. Whales were chasing a school of sardines. You know sardine. Sardine. Now, when they're in the ocean, there's not 20 of them. There's just thousands and thousands. And it was a school of sardines. And so a big whale, brr, brr, sardine, oh, brr, brr. And he starts chasing sardines. Well, now the sardines aren't stupid. Here comes the whale, shallow water, come on. And they head for shallow water. Wow, whale's coming, shallow water. Whale kept coming. When they got to the shore, National Geographic Survey said that when the sardines hit the shore, they split. You go left, we go right. Whale kept coming. And died. The massive whale of the deep died chasing that. God has given you a vision for your life. It's written down in a book in heaven. He needs you to ask about it, and you need to start believing him for it. And quit crying and complaining about people, stuff, things, government, your president. Start chasing God. He's got something real stinking big for you. We're in the greatest moment of history. Please don't miss it. Let's stand up. Bow your heads. Father, we thank you this morning for the truth of your word that sets us free and keeps us free. Lord, thank you for people of vision. Thank you for our pastor. Thank you for our government. Thank you, Father, for those that apply the head. But Father, I ask you today, if we're blinded in any area, take blindness from our mind and lighten the eyes of our understanding. Draw us out of your goodness. Father, I ask you, according to Ephesians, for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that we might know the hope of your calling. Father, I thank you for the love of God that's in our heart, Father, that you're going to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Father, stir us up to start asking for more. We're going to be the prayingest people that's ever been. We're looking forward to the next year. We're looking forward to the next decade. We're looking forward to the rest of our life. This is our greatest moment. For that, we say thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said.
Today, Joe brings you a message that will have you rolling with laughter and thinking about how God designed us to be relational from the very beginning of life. Start today to fight and overcome the tough challenges of marriage. But before we get into today's message, I want to let you know about this month's great radio offer. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to fight to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes 3 audio discs, messages that will guide you on building a better marriage, 2 cards designed to help remind you each day to pray for your spouse, and you'll also get a set of 31 Telling Your Children the Truth scripture cards. All 3 of these powerful items are designed to help you discover how you can build a strong family with joy, love, and the truth of God's Word. To get your Marriage Building 101 Essential Set, simply call us toll-free 1-800-482-5862. That number again is 1-800-482-5862. Be sure to tell the operator that you want the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe with today's biblical message on why it's not good to be alone.
You know, for the last 24 years, we've been traveling all over America and teaching on the family. I always believed when I was working as an engineer in the electrical industry years ago that one day God would use us.
You know, having six kids, you know, some people think, well, you sure have a lot of kids. Well, we liked them. We really did. You know, we came from families of 12. My dad had 12 brothers and sisters, and my father-in-law had 12 brothers and sisters. So big families are just fun. It was what we did for entertainment. You know, if you have fun, find a family member. You want to start a fight, find a family member. It was just what we did. So my wife and I got married. We thought we'd like to have a big family, so we went with half, with six. And so I tell people having six kids won't make you holy or famous. Might make you insane and broke if you don't know what to do when they show up, but God is into the family. It's the first thing he made, and if you read in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, it's the first thing he lost. When Adam and Eve sinned, they got fired from the job, evicted from the house, and their kids started killing each other. But God had a plan for the family. He had a plan through his son coming to earth. And so all of a sudden, once we had the silent night, holy night, we through kings and more in our story, we now have hope. God is rebuilding the family. You know, there's a passage in Isaiah 61, God said he would revive, repair, restore, rebuild the family. And so that's what we do. We hold seminars, about 80 seminars all over the country, teaching on marriage, parenting, men, money, anything to do in the home. Because, man, the pressure has picked up. You know, I remember when I got out of high school, gasoline was 25 cents a gallon. We could rent a house for $55 a month. I mean, things got expensive. Things changed. And boy, the pressure's built up. Now almost every family's got having to have two incomes to make it. And we got a lot of single-parent families today. But God has not lost us. He said in the last days he would pour out his spirit on all flesh. The man, things are going to happen in our families. And I believe it's happening right now. But it happens through the knowledge of his word. So what we do is we teach. And we call this a laugh and learn experience. People come out and we have seminars on, again, every area of the home. You know, whether it's your financial life or your married life. You know, we used to kid and say, you know, marriage is nothing more than two ignorant people growing up together. It's just a fun time. Kids, you know, once you have them, you can't take them back. It's not like you buy something at Walmart, you can go return it. They're going to be with us forever. And God knew that. He said to train them up and to teach them. So what we found out, there is a method, believe it or not, to having a great family. It said in 1 Peter 3 that you and I all have the kind of family that makes somebody else jealous. Listen, guys, there's no perfect families. I don't have a perfect family. Got a good one. The Bible says the righteous fall seven times a day and they get back up. We're not the perfect people. We're the getting back up people. We learn how to repent quick, forgive quick, and get back up. God promised us that he'd satisfy us with a lot of things. With long life will I satisfy you, show you my salvation. Length of days will be in your hand. Riches and honor will be in the other. God's promised some great stuff. Well, why don't we see it? Well, because we live on an alien planet. Satan is the legal god of this planet. He got it when he stole it from Adam and Eve in the garden. The thing is, we don't belong to him anymore. If you're a born-again believer, I belong to the kingdom of God. I've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness. Thing is, if you don't know that, the devil's a liar. He'll mess with you. So what we do seminars in our Faith for Families ministry on marriage, parenting, and men. We got a great publishing company, Stone Bluff Publishing, putting out printed material that puts hope back in the lives of people, tells you how to live life according to the Word of God and be a success. And then, of course, now we have Fighting for Families Radio, where we're going to try to cover America with hope, because that's what we need. Hope and deferred, the Bible says, makes the heart sick. And that's what people are lacking. So we go in and we have open sessions. We'll start off usually with the first session about what the problem was. You know, in our first session on marriage, we talk about the differences in men and women. When I married my wife, I thought, my goodness, I've married somebody just like me. Man, we like the same food, the same John Wayne movies. We like the same everything, the same movies. It didn't take but about 3 months in our marriage. We realized, oh my goodness, I've married my absolute total opposite. We couldn't agree on anything. And man, all of a sudden, 3 years in our marriage, we're ready for a divorce. I hated her guts and she hated mine. And what happened? Well, we married the wrong person. I either married too early or too late or something. And I realized, no, according to the Word of God, I married my exact opposite. Nobody explained that to me when I got married. You know, when God made the creation, everything he made was good. Everything was good. Good, 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 very good. The first time God said not good, he was looking at a man. He's looking at Adam. And all of a sudden, Adam said, what did you say? God said, not good. Adam said, what's not good? You. What's not good? He said, you're alone. I'm going to make you a helper. So God made a woman. Now, I don't know if you know this or not. When God made a woman, he made something better. You know, the average woman's got a higher IQ. She's got a better immune system. She has a bigger vocabulary. She's got better manual dexterity. When God made a woman to help man, he made something better. When he looked at Adam and said, you need help, he didn't make another Adam. Now I've got two doofuses to deal with. He actually made a helper. And so what we learned today is that when you get married, you married your opposite by divine appointment and as a gift from God. God gave us everything we didn't have. My wife's smart where I'm not smart, talented where I'm not talented. I'm smart where she's not smart. I'm talented where she's not talented. That's why the Bible says two are better than one. Now, we didn't know that. We thought, well, we never get along. That's because you never see the problem with the same viewpoint. You know, when we got married, we realized something. Denise and I, we just never agreed on anything. And it wasn't until we got in the Word of God, we realized, oh, this is how God set it up. Two are better than one. If any two shall get in agreement on anything, it'll be done of our Father which is in heaven. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. We realized the power of two, not because we saw the problem the same, but because we saw it different. You know, the Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Why? Because you agree? No. I see something you don't see. I heard something you don't hear. If we two can get together, we're going to become a problem-solving machine. That's what a marriage is. A marriage is a problem-solving machine. Then God said children were his reward. I remember sitting in a class one time when I heard that scripture. Children are a reward from the Lord. I thought, man, that's the worst thing I ever heard. There's no way that can be true. We've got six of them. I don't see a rewarding thing about it. Man, they were costing us money before they ever came out of the womb. And then once they came out of the womb, they cost more money. Man, they're tearing stuff up, flushing stuff they shouldn't, not flushing stuff they should, trying to get into past algebra and diagram and sentence. Like, when are you going to leave home? God said, no, I'm going to give them to you, and I'm going to let you train them up. Then eventually you're going to give them back to me, and I'm going to do something great with them. It's a great honor to parent. It's a privilege to parent. It's work to parent. But God's told us how to do it throughout the Word of God. He tells us how to teach and to train. He said, our children, Psalms 130, our children, Psalms 112, verse 1 through 3, will bring great honor to our name. Great honor. Not embarrassed. You ever been embarrassed as a parent? I have. Like, what happened? My God, what's wrong with them? Well, I remember my wife told me one time, I said, what's wrong with our kids? And my wife said, go look in the mirror. They're just like you, Joe. And I realized something. Like kind reproduces like kind. As a parent, I don't need my kids to grow up. I needed to grow up. And that's why the local church is the most powerful thing on this planet. It's in the local church that iron strikes iron. It's in a local church where you sit under a pastor and you learn the Word of God. It's in a local church you fellowship with other saints. You get to be a blessing and help people as much as you get help. And there's where you start growing in the grace and knowledge. You know, when I got married, I wasn't perfect. My wife wasn't perfect. We're still not there. We've been married 44 years. We're still growing. I still get to know her every day. She gets to know me. But man, what an adventure. Second greatest thing next to salvation is finding a spouse. It is a great blessing. I love growing older with my spouse. I love my kids. Now that they're adults and out of the house, I love fellowship with my kids. We still don't agree on everything, but we're all growing in God. And I'm telling you, it's a great thing God's doing. So, what we're doing here at Faith for Families and Fighting for Families Radio, building families, putting them back together, giving them the tools they need to have a happy, successful, prosperous, long marriage and long life. And God's going to do it through His Word. He really is.
Joe's going to be back in just a moment with a tool to help you build a God-based, stronger marriage. But before we get to today's final thought and take home, I wanted to let you know about this month's great radio offer. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to fight to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes 3 audio discs, messages that will guide you on building a better marriage, 2 cards designed to help remind you each day to pray for your spouse, and you'll also get a set of 31 Telling Your Children the Truth scripture cards. All 3 of these powerful items are designed to help you fight for your own family, to discover how you can build a strong family with joy, love, and the truth of God's Word. To get your Marriage Building 101 Essential Set, simply call us toll-free 1-800-482-5862. That number again is 1-800-482-5862. Be sure to tell the operator that you want the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe with a tool for you to use in your marriage.
You know, we've been teaching on parenting for almost 30 years, and you get a lot of questions and a lot of interaction, and it's just been great because we all learn. The teacher learns as much as the student when you go through this process. But over the years, people have kind of narrowed it down. What is the single most important thing you can instill in your kids? I mean, if you got 20 things, I want them to be smart and have good hygiene and pass algebra, get a date, go to college, get a job, live long, be healthy. What's the number one most important thing? I said, it's real simple. Psalm 34, verse 11 says this, come to me, children, and I will teach you the fear of God. The number one greatest thing you'll ever teach your children is not how to pass algebra, not how to get a date, not how to find out how to go to the prom. It'll be, you need to fear God. Why? Because the fear of God is the doorway to wisdom. Now here's what I do. I got this, I pray it every day. Psalm 34:11. I say, Father, I ask you, teach my children to fear you. It says in Psalm 34:11, ask God, teach my children to fear you. Why? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs 1, 7. What does that get you? Well, wisdom is the principal thing, it says in Proverbs 4. It's the principal, number one, most important thing, therefore get yourself some. Well, how do you get wisdom? You need to fear God, number one. Number two, James says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God, he'll give liberally, and he'll upbraid it not. Well, what's wisdom get you? Proverbs 3:16, wisdom will get my children long life, riches, and honor. Now, as a parent, I love that. What do you want? I want my children to live a really long time. If Jesus tarries, I want you to come to my funeral. I do not want to come to yours. What do you need? You need to fear God. Why? That's the beginning of wisdom. What's that going to get you? Long life. Number two, it's going to get you riches. You're going to get your own money eventually. I don't want to have to write checks for you. You'll make your own money. And then you'll write me checks. The Bible says parents lay it for the children. Children lay it for the parents. I've told my kids, you owe mom and I. You owe us good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Why? Man, we birthed you, bathed you, burped you, wiped you, taught you how to talk, walk, sit down, and shut up. Then we got you through school, bought you a prom dress, helped you get a date, bought your first car, got you through college, paid for your wedding. You owe us. And I used to tell the kids, don't you ever buy us anything that fits in a box. Why? I want you to get rich on your own. God's going to bless everything you set your hand to, surround you with divine favor. So the most important thing is, if you fear God, that's going to get you long life. Number two, it's going to get you riches. Number three, it's going to bring you honor. Every time somebody calls my kid's name, I want to feel proud. Who is it? That's my kid. That's my child. Who's that? I want you to bring honor to the family name, and you bring honor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved you, redeemed you, blessed you, filled with the Holy Spirit. You're to do those three things, long life, riches, and honor. What's that come from? Fearing God, which is the beginning of wisdom. Then it's the beginning of knowledge. What do you do with knowledge? Well, if you get knowledge from fearing God, you'll fill every room of your house with pleasant and precious riches. Most important thing you will ever do for your children is teach them the fear of the Lord. It's going to be a great life, I promise you. God bless.
Thanks so much, Joe. If you like what you heard today, call now and become a partner. With a gift of $35 or more, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes three audio messages that are thought-provoking and funny, a couple of prayer reminders, and 31 teaching cards to help you ultimately build a strong marriage and family. Call now, 1-800-482-5862. That's 1-800-482-5862. You can also write Joe at P.O. Box 691-498, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74169. We're excited to hear about all the great things God is going to do in your life as you apply these principles. Join us when Joe continues this Laugh and Learn series on how you need the right tools to build a successful marriage. It's never too late to change your marriage.